The game is over. Your Bucks postgame show starts now. Welcome to Bucks Talk, insight, analysis, and your chance to sound off on the game you just heard. Now to break it all down, here's your host, Justin Garcia.
Well, it is not the result that we had hoped for. And look, we had a lot of this conversation after not only the last game, the last couple of games, in that these were frustrating losses. And these were games, when you look at the Memphis Grizzlies, the Toronto Raptors, the Washington Wizards earlier in the week, these were games that even Doc Rivers had said, no, these are frustrating because you should expect to win those games. And you did not. And we pointed to the stretch that came up after this and said, well, if we're being optimistic, it is that the Bucks have been at their best, as I pointed out a number of times. They have been at their best against the best teams in the league. And when they've been healthy, when they've had that group on the floor. Tonight, for whatever reason, this snake bit stretch that the Bucks have been through with injuries continued. And this was really just bad luck with Chris Middleton taking a shot to the face, exiting the game, not returning in the first half. That certainly had an impact on the offense. It does not explain everything that we saw offensively. But the Knicks were the more active team tonight. And as Doc Rivers said, Jalen Brunson's been a problem for this team. Prior to Doc Rivers' arrival in this game, Jalen Brunson has feasted on this Bucks defense. We tried a number of things, as Doc said. We tried to trap him. We tried zone. We tried a handful of different looks. But Jalen Brunson has seen them all. We were playing in the drop quite a bit. He took advantage of that. And we have to figure out how to slow him down, because we could see the Knicks yet in the postseason. And we could see them as early as the first round. That's the big takeaway here, is I pointed to this game a couple of times and said, look, if you win this game, even after that loss to the Toronto Raptors on Friday night, if you win this game against the Knicks, what you essentially do is wall off the New York Knicks. Right now, you've got to keep an eye on, I suppose we could say, four teams, I beg your pardon, with the Indiana Pacers in there. But you certainly have to keep an eye on the Orlando Magic, the New York Knicks, and the Cleveland Cavaliers. Those three teams are just two games behind you. Pacers are three games behind you. They only have three games left. So the Pacers need to win out. They need you to lose out. They need other teams to do the same. But if you won this game tonight, you remove the Knicks from the equation. You would sit at 30 losses. They would have 33. Four games remaining, but it's a three-game margin, and you hold the tiebreaker. So it's essentially four. Knicks would have to win out. They would need you to lose out. So you could cross that team off the list, and you've started to get help when you look at what the Cavaliers have done. Seven losses in their last 10 games for Cleveland. Unfortunately, the Bucks have done the same thing. Bucks and Cavs have both gone 3-7 in their last 10 games. And that has opened the door for the New York Knicks, for the Orlando Magic, and even to a lesser extent for the Indiana Pacers. Meaning this conference is wide open. Everything but 1-9-10. Wide open right now. 855-616-1620, the number to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. Look, we could say, what is your level of concern? Are you panicked yet? I think an overwhelming majority of you would say yes. So what are the things to point to in areas that the Bucks can quickly turn this around or get things moving in the right direction? We'll start to parse through that and take a look at some of those things. I mentioned we'll take a look at what's left for teams like the Magic, the Knicks, the Cavaliers, because you got to worry about all of those teams. And even on a four-game skid, you got to worry about the Indiana Pacers as well. So we'll take a look at those schedules as well. But plenty of time to hear from you tonight. 855-616-1620, the number to join us. More after this on Bucks Talk.
Welcome back to Bucks Talk.
122-109. Fourth straight loss tonight for the Bucks. It is an overall four-game losing streak. It's the first time they've done that since December of 2022, and that was capped with that loss to the Bulls in overtime in Chicago, where, remember, the Bulls erased a 20-point deficit in the last handful of minutes of that game. That was the low point of that season. And the hope is this is the low point of this season, but you are running out of time to start to correct course here. And oh, by the way, you got to start to do it against the team that owns the best record in the league, in the Boston Celtics, on Tuesday night. 855-616-1620. The number to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. Let's head to the phones and check in with our friend Dick in Port Washington. Dick, what do you have on this one?
The only decent thing that happened tonight is that the lead in music coming back from a commercial was by The Hollies. Outside of that, it was a train wreck. I've got to vent a little bit about the negatives, but I'm going to give a positive at the end. I look at the players' eyes, look at the coach's eyes. No one has a clue right now. I don't have a clue. I mean, yeah, listen to the post-game radio, listen to the post-game TV. I know it's your job to keep people coming back, but there's nothing positive here. Lillard and Giannis tonight kicked the ball around like they were playing pool. You can't take blame away from those guys. Lillard is not the guy that everyone thought he was when we traded for him. And that happened. The only good thing right now that you can say about getting Lillard here is that Giannis re-upped. And probably re-upped for years after this because you can make the most money here. I'm befuddled. I think the best thing that could happen here is that, and I hate to use the word tanking, but I think our best bet would be the fifth or sixth seed. We want to get someone that we can play in the playoffs that hasn't been there with Lillard stepping up and Giannis coming to his potential, which is tremendous. We all know that. Chris coming back. Win the first playoff series, and then I think you can strike lightning in the bottle. I don't know how many people have looked at this. Is that I think I've talked to some other people. I think next year is really could be our year if Doc's around yet, and we have a full year of his coaching. But I still think we can do some damage this year, and Boston. You know, they're not South Carolina women's team. I mean, they've got holes. And I think when you win so much, you don't know how to deal with losing. And I think I think there's an opening there. But I would not be opposed. Tanking is a horrible word. But I'd gladly take fifth or sixth seed. What do you think?
Well, I mean, I understand where you're coming from on that. I think what makes that difficult, and I don't know if I'd go that far, is we just don't know. Like, you could still get those teams that I think you're referring to by finishing second or third. You know, like, there's still so much to be sorted out this final week that you look at those four teams of the Bucks, the Magic, the Knicks, the Cavs. It's two games separating them. Even if the Pacers finish the season without a loss, like the Pacers are in that conversation. 6-7-8, similar story, and the Cavs could slide down to there and potentially be a play-in team as well. So I think we got to wait until Friday to have a more firm grasp on, okay, it's likely going to be one of these two teams. But I understand the logic of, you know, if this is how you go into the postseason, if this is how you're headed into the postseason, is a matchup with the Miami Heat, who again, I even hesitate to say this, but they are not the Miami Heat of last year. They're a much different team. They have some big pieces that are gone, but it's still the Miami Heat. It's still Eric Spoelstra. It's still Jimmy Butler and what he's done against this team in the postseason. Bam Adebayo as well, and his ability to I'm not going to say stop Giannis, but at least be a capable defender on him. So there's certainly a lot of hesitation there. I have a number of hesitation, a lot of it, against the possible matchup with the Philadelphia 76ers with a returned Joel Embiid and Tyrese Maxey, who just scored 50 points tonight, and Nick Nurse. So I get the let's hopefully avoid those teams, but I think, look, the big part is this, and Doc Rivers kind of said this before the game tonight too, there is no easy path for any team in the Eastern Conference, even if you have, I would assume, the teams that you're talking about, we should hopefully try to match up with these teams. The Magic, right? The Pacers, potentially. Even the Cavaliers and how they've been playing recently. Look, even if you got one of those teams, it's going to kick up in the second round, probably in the conference finals as well. The Boston Celtics could get the Miami Heat or the 76ers as their first-round opponent. So there is no real way to avoid a challenge like this. And the big thing just has to be, number one, make sure you're healthy going into the postseason. The Chris Middleton thing, it hurt tonight, but it was more bad luck. And I think, you know, when that play happened, we could just see Chris Middleton on the floor. And where the play actually occurred was a little further away from our vantage point. So I didn't actually see, and neither did Dave, the contact on the play. All you saw was, well after the whistle had sounded, Chris Middleton was still on the floor, Damian Lillard coming over to check on him, and I think we all immediately feared the worst of what's going on here now. So to see that it was, I mean, as much as you don't want to joke about it, that it was only he got hit in the face and likely lost a tooth, you felt relieved there. But, you know, that was the other thing that Doc Rivers mentioned is, yeah, we have our big three together tonight for this game, and we still got to kind of work on that chemistry and figuring things out with that trio. But, you know, we need this for a sustained period of time, because it seems like for the last 2 months, whenever one guy would come back, another one would exit. And unfortunately, you saw that again tonight. So I think the big thing is you can't even worry about who it is you're going to play in the first round of the playoffs, because even if it is a team that we would deem an easy, quote-unquote, opponent, if you're playing like what we've seen during this four-game stretch, you're going to have a challenge with anyone. So get this headed in the right direction. Clean up some of those things. Get through this, because I do agree with the other point that you made about essentially facing adversity. And, you know, it's easy to be a front runner and to blow through teams in the regular season. Now, I do think the comparison I'm about to make, I will say this. The Boston Celtics, I do think, are a better team than who I'm about to reference in how those teams are constructed. The Celtics are a more complete team. They're a more well-rounded team. But you think back to the Bucks' second year under Bud, when at one point they were on pace to win more than 70 games. They were blowing through teams in the regular season. They did not have very many of those clutch situations. They went to Paris, France, and blew out the Charlotte Hornets. I think they were something like 40-6 at the time of that game. And they just never faced any of those bumps in the road until the very, very end, the final week of the season, as the league came to a shutdown because of the pandemic. And once you got back into things in the bubble, it just seemed like it was different for everybody. It seemed like it certainly impacted the Bucks, but they started to see those losses. They weren't the same team. Those eight games, I think they went 2-6 or 3-5. They had enough of a margin built up, but something just seemed off the moment they started to see losses and things would pile up, and they did not respond well to that adversity. So I think that is ultimately going to be the biggest question about this Boston Celtics team, given their history as well with this group in some of those big spots. Can you go through it? And can you get through it once you experience that? Maybe they don't, right? Maybe the Celtics just blow through teams and they're on another level. And maybe this is a good thing for the Bucks. You know, as we try to search for the silver lining here, it's certainly not ideal. I'm not trying to suggest that. To be playing this way, to lose four games in a row when you really had a chance to put your mind at ease with this schedule that they had. You look at those three teams leading into this fourth loss tonight. Those are very winnable games. Those are games you should have expected to win. Doc Rivers said as much himself. if you win those games, you know, take two losses even off of the Bucks' record right now. If you take two of those three games, it's a much different story in the East, because right there, you're at least three games up on the Magic, the Knicks, the Cavs, with four games left, right? It's a very different feeling. Now, all that being said, the Bucks could very well come out on Tuesday. We don't know who's going to be available for the Celtics. I would assume you're going to see most, if not all, of their guys. It's a little early to take your foot off the gas, knowing you're going to have a full week off during the play-in tournament. But the Bucks could come out and play the same way they did against the Celtics the last time Boston was here in Milwaukee. They could do the same thing against the Orlando Magic, right? Is that going to erase these four games and the memory of it? No. But these four games, to me, it's about consistency. It's about finding that consistency. It's about cleaning up the process. It's about just the aesthetics and looking better going into the postseason. 855-616-1620, the number to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. We'll take a look at those other teams, the Magic, the Knicks, the Cavs. What do they have left on their schedule? And also, our friends at playoffstatus.com, with this game out of the way, what are the percent chances for all of these teams in the Eastern Conference on where they will finish? We'll update you on that as well after this on Bucks Talk.
The round ball repartee returns. This is Bucks Talk.
Losing streak extended to four for the Bucks, who fall short tonight to the New York Knicks behind another big game from Jalen Brunson. 43 points to lead all scorers in this one. And again, a four-game losing streak for the Bucks. They have also lost four straight games at home. It's the first time they've had a losing streak that long at home since moving into this building. 855-616-1620 is the number to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. Let's head back to the phone lines and check in with Bob in Menasha. You're up next.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call. Just a couple of things. I think things were starting to go haywire long before the losing streak. Even when you go back, they've had a hard time scoring points for a long time. That offensive just doesn't seem to be clicking. And, you know, quite often Doc says it's, you know, puts on himself and the coaches, but I think it's time to start putting on the players a little bit also. They're the ones turning the ball over, 13 times tonight, am I correct in that? And then they're the ones not blocking out on rebounds. I mean, they just get out-rebounded by sometimes people that are a little bit smaller than Lopez and the Greek. You know, sometimes they're pretty easy team to defend. If they're not hitting threes, they've got nothing up the middle besides the Greek. You know, I think sometimes the lack of a lot of good athletes out there, they're all athletes, but sometimes they're not as quick as they were 5 years ago. And, you know, a few years ago, they've slowed down. You know, Lopez is pretty slow out there defensively. That's for sure. I don't know. Did Lillard have a field goal in the fourth quarter? Help me out on that one. I don't think he did. He seems to disappear at times. I mean, we know we can score. We know we can, you know, perimeter offense. But sometimes the chemistry just seems to be lacking. I remember when they made the trade. I mean, this sounds stupid to bring it up now, but I said way back then, boy, when you start depleting your bench and, boy, good thing you have Bobby Portis off that bench or there'd be nothing else. And he seems to be the only one that sometimes wants to rebound also. But what are your comments? You're the expert more than I am, but what do you think about some of the things I said about the lack of offense and the lack of rebounding and too many turnovers, blah, 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 you know? Yeah. I don't think you can turn that light switch on this late in the year and correct some of those errors. I hate to say that, but I don't think it can be done no matter who you're playing. I guess I listened to your comments.
Yeah, thanks for the call, Bob. Dame just took three shots in the fourth quarter. He played 8 minutes, too, but was one of three. Bucks as a team, 7 of 20. You know, 35% shooting in the fourth quarter. And Doc Rivers had said, too, at halftime, we were moving the ball. the message to the team was essentially keep doing what we were doing in the first half. They had a tremendous second quarter, shooting virtually 60%. No real looks at three in that quarter either. It was all ball movement. They were attacking inside-outside ball, where you just kept swinging the ball around, getting into the paint, probing there, creating those opportunities. It was efficient offense. It slowed down. You know, as you said, we were kind of stuck in mud. The ball stuck. We weren't moving it quite as much. All those things we pointed out the Bucks were doing to the Knicks, defense, how structured it was, how they were playing on a string, pretty much. The number of times the Knicks were taking shots very, very late in the shot clock, that flipped in the second half. The Knicks were doing it to the Bucks, and it, you know, went from being just rebounding was the one thing that you needed to clean up, and that basically keeping the Knicks within that 11-point margin, what they were doing on the offensive glass, it went from that to you lost just about every single category that there was. The Knicks just looked like a team with more energy tonight. You know, they were getting all the loose balls, and that's what the Knicks do. They are very, very good. They are elite on the offensive glass and defensive glass. They're a good rebounding team. They're a good defensive team because of the personnel and the different schemes that they can play, how they are basically switchable 1 through 4. And they don't foul. You know, that was the other thing. The Bucks were getting to the free throw line so much tonight against a team that just does not foul. You've got to figure out how to fix the offense, how to consistently get what you saw for the first half, but especially that second quarter. You've got to figure out how to get that consistently going into the playoffs. Because when you made that trade, Damian Lillard in, Drew Holiday out, you became an offensive team. And you became a team that said, the way we're going to win games is we're going to outscore teams. If you don't do that, I think the defense can still be good, right? Better than league average, if you want to call that good. I think that's where your defense can be. It's not going to be elite. Your offense can. And that's how you're going to have to win games. So the point that Bob brought up as well, it's going to be tough to win, and especially in the playoffs, if you're consistently getting a 4 of 11 type of night from Damian Lillard. And that's not even bad, right? It's close to 50% from the field. 1 of 7 on threes, though, that was the tough part, is we've seen now for about 2 weeks, the Bucks have gotten a lot of good looks from their best shooters, too. They just have not dropped. You're going to need Damian Lillard to be an elite scorer for this team to advance in the postseason. Is it troubling? Is it a warning sign to see this in the regular season and inconsistency that we've seen? You know, I'm not going to go that far yet until it becomes a problem in the playoffs, but that's the recipe for the Bucks. They're going to have to beat teams offensively. They're going to have to outscore them. They're going to have to be efficient in the half court. And if Damian Lillard is going 1 of 7 on threes, you know, you can get by with 1 or 2 games of that. Maybe not 2, but you can get by with 1 game of that in a series. But you need Damian Lillard to be the guy that he's been all throughout his career. We've seen it, right? It's not as though Dame has been bad this season. We've seen that. I just don't think we've seen it as consistently as everybody was hoping for. 855-616-1620, the number to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. A few more calls trickling in. We will get to those after this.
This is Bucks Talk.
122 to 109, the final from Fiserv Forum. Jalen Brunson pours in 43 points, sending the Bucks to their fourth straight defeat. And now it is very, very close in the Eastern Conference standings. How close, you may ask? The Bucks, the Magic, who are currently the 3 seed, the Knicks, and the Cavaliers, 2 through 5, are separated by just 2 games in the loss column right now. Indiana Pacers only have 3 games left this season. They are just 3 games back. So let's take a look at the Pacers, those 3 games. In Toronto on Tuesday night against the Raptors. In Cleveland 3 days later on Friday night against the Cavaliers. And then home against the Atlanta Hawks to close out the season 1 week from today. To get out of the six, Pacers basically have to win out there. And that game against the Cavaliers is especially big because right now the Pacers are just one game back of the Cleveland Cavaliers. Cavaliers also have three games left. They're all at home. Memphis Grizzlies on Wednesday. Indiana Pacers, that huge game on Friday, and then the Charlotte Hornets to close out the season 1 week from today. The New York Knicks have four games left. Two are against the Chicago Bulls. They're in Chicago on Tuesday, in Boston on Thursday, home against the Nets on Friday, and they wrap up the season with the Bulls 1 week from today. And then there's the Orlando Magic, maybe the most intriguing team here, in Houston against the Rockets on Tuesday. It is a Rockets team that was just officially eliminated from the postseason tonight. Then they're here in Milwaukee for night two of a back-to-back for both of those teams, the Bucks and the Magic, on Wednesday. Then in Philadelphia against the 76ers on Friday, and they close out the regular season with the Bucks at home on Sunday. It is going to go down to not only the final weekend, it is very likely going to go down to the final day. But what do the numbers say? We'll update you on those odds, the very latest, as of this moment. We'll update you on those odds and wrap things up. Take a look ahead at the next matchup against the Boston Celtics after this on Bucks Talk.
Welcome back to Bucks Talk.
Bucks look to end a four-game losing streak Tuesday night when they return to the floor. It is at home against the Boston Celtics. Only four games remain this season. Home against the Celtics Tuesday. Home against the Orlando Magic, a potentially huge game on Wednesday. On the road in Oklahoma City against the Thunder on Friday. And 1 week from today, the regular season comes to an end in Orlando against the Magic. As of this moment, Bucks have a 40% chance to secure the two seed in the East. That is still the best odds of any team out there, but that number was 60%, and I believe that number was even 70% earlier this week. It has been sliced nearly in half. 40% chance for the Bucks. The Orlando Magic have the second best odds at a 26% chance. By the numbers, the Bucks, if not second, projected finish would be fourth. And as you look at some of the tiebreaker scenarios, Bucks hold it against the Knicks. They do not hold it against the Cavs. They do not hold it against the Pacers. Pacers win again, you still hope that's meaningless. They can get it against the Magic. As for the Magic, hold the tiebreaker against the Knicks, hold the tiebreaker against the Pacers. It's going to come down to a multi-team tiebreaker scenario for the Cavs. So they're in a pretty good spot, and they can get the tiebreaker against the Bucks. You look at the Knicks, they don't hold it against the Bucks. They don't hold it against the Magic. They only have it against the Cavaliers. And the other notable teams here, the Pacers have the tiebreaker against every team around them except the Magic. And on the flip side, the 76ers do not hold the tiebreaker against any team but the Orlando Magic. So all of these reasons are why we say it's not just the final weekend. It is probably going to go down to the final day of the regular season. But one way to avoid that is to just start winning and to get through this and pull yourself out of this losing streak. First crack at doing that is Tuesday night, a big one. And frankly, all four of these games to close the regular season are big for the Bucks. Tuesday is the next one, though, as the Celtics come to town. 6:30 tip, 6 o'clock is when our pregame coverage begins. And as always, be sure to stick around after the game for Bucks Talk. We will talk to you then.